1 Corinthians 12, we'll read this verse again, and we'll point out some things from it and in it and preach from it, I guess, a little bit tonight. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll read verse 25. Again, we read this morning. We didn't really say much about it as far as the verse. We went from this verse and went to John chapter 13 and preached the message, the remaining part of the service from John 13. But we're dealing with taking the classroom course on care. And I intended, when the Lord first started putting that thought on my heart, to deal with Acts 28, and that's where we'll probably go. Not tonight, but we'll probably go there. And we'll look at Acts 28 in a light that maybe that you just think, wow, where is that coming from? But when I show it to you, as the Lord showed it to me, I believe you're going to see it. But anyway, till we get there, look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. That there should be no schisms in the body. And it's evident the way he even starts that verse that that is the consequence of what he has already been saying about the body and the members and their relationship one to the other down through these verses. And he's talking about everybody being where, as a member in the body, being where you're supposed to be and being right relationship with other members and all of that. Verse 25, he said, this is basically where I'm trying to get to, is that there be no schisms in the body. He said, I'm dealing with all of this because God don't want any schisms in the body. But that the members, this is the word but there, identifies the opposite of schisms. Instead of that there be no schism, he said, then we should have care one for another. So he said, I'll just read again, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Let's pray and you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name and I ask you, Lord God, to work in my heart tonight and bring to my attention, Lord, everything, God, that you want me to see and say. And Lord, I am certainly appreciative of what you have already said to us in form of songs and testimonies. We thank you for those that have rejoiced in their own salvation the day they got saved. And Lord, if you hadn't saved us, we wouldn't be here together like this, and I wouldn't be here. I would have never met these people. They would have never met me, more than likely. And probably I would already been hell. I was well on my way. But I want to thank you that you saved me one day. And Lord, I thank you that when you saved me, you had a plan and you had a purpose, Lord, for my life. Now that I am saved and belong to you. And Lord, you revealed that to me in that you called me to preach. And I thank you for that. Lord, next to salvation, it was the second greatest day in my life. Lord, when you dealt with me, called me, showed me my purpose. And Lord, I thank you for the last 25 years, Lord, that you had sent me to a little town in Tennessee called Rogersville. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the souls that's been saved over the years. And Lord, I thank you for the blessings that's been bestowed and the encouragements that has been given, the instructions that have been received. I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the lives that have been changed. Lord, I appreciate that. Not just the souls saved, but the lives that's been changed. Young people that's made it up in their mind that they're going to go with God and that they're not for sale. Lord, I ask your will to be done tonight. Help me, Lord, to be sensitive to you. And Lord, we welcome you anytime, all the time, to take over and do whatever it is that you desire to do, Lord, in this service. And what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've been dealing with, starting this morning, on the subject of our care one for another. And certainly the Bible is not silent about that subject. I believe the Bible is very clear, very evident. And you've heard me quote this statement from Dr. David Gibbs, the founder of Christian Law Association. He made this statement years ago. I heard him in person, and I've never forgotten it. In fact, I've quoted him here several times, as well as other places. He said, the spiritual is relational. The spiritual is relational. You can't separate relationships from your spirituality. You remember I made a statement this morning that we're members of the body. We're members one of another and all of that. And in John 13, he really establishes the fact that you're going to need each other. When Jesus said, I'm going away, and in the meantime, in the process, all that you're going to be facing, you're going to need each other. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen? And so our relationships one to another is of the utmost importance. Now, let me present something to you. If that is so, and we don't have the time or even the knowledge tonight to cover all of the scriptures and deal with all of the scriptures that have relational emphasis. I mean, you think about the verses that deals with one another. There's many of the one another verses. There's verses throughout the epistles where Paul constantly is telling us, you know, don't act this way, don't feel this way, don't talk this way. And he's talking about our relationship one with another. And if that's the truth, and it is, then why would the devil not target that? If God puts emphasis on it, why would not the devil want to attack that? Does that not make good sense? If God says, I'm putting high premium on our relationships one with another, amen, then that's where I'm going to focus my attack if I were the devil. I'd want to fight that. I'd want my do everything I could to break that down. Of course, the breakdown in the relationship could be in many different forms, you know, division, disunity, disharmony, various things. But I believe that we can see, not just here, but we can see it everywhere. There's no church, I don't know of any church, that is not having issues in the area of relationships. Resentment, ill will, unforgiveness, whatever. And so that's why the devil targets that. He does it first, of course, as Brother Davis preached on our love for the Lord, he doesn't want me to love the Lord. Why? Because that's the hub around which everything rotates. He doesn't want me to love the Lord. But secondly, he doesn't want me to love you. He doesn't want you to love me. He doesn't want us to love each other. Amen? Why? Because when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You know how he responded. The greatest commandment, one, is vertical. The second of the greatest commandments is horizontal. Vertical is my love for the Lord, loving the Lord with all my heart and soul, strength and might and all that, and with my mind. But then he said, the second unto it is love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you have vertical love and horizontal love. And he's telling us, and then he said, upon these hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, I believe that statement says that if I can get you to love God right and get you to love one another right, that you're going to fulfill the scripture. You're going to, amen. In other words, everything seems to be connected to those relationships, your relationship to God first and foremost, and then your relationships to others, amen. I mean, that's true, isn't it? And Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Can you love the head without loving the body? Can you love the body without loving the head? No, we're all one. It's all one. Amen. You decapitate the head. You take the head away from the body. Take Christ out. We're dead. We're dead. We're dead. Well, you'll be just as dead as if you cut your arm off, because you'll bleed out, right? I mean, lose that member. Amen. So it's all. Everybody's important, and our relationships one to another is likewise important. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 25. I want to give you the definition, and also preach a little bit about the word schism. That there should be no schism. How many schisms does God want in the body? No schisms. I don't think that's up for interpretation. I don't think you have to look up the definition. I believe it's very plain that there's to be no schisms in the body. Well, the word schism, according to Strong's Concordance, means a split, a gap, division, or a rent place, a tear, if you will. So I want you to get that idea that there be no splits, there be no gaps, that there be no divisions, and that there be no rent or tore places. And I'm going to illustrate that in a moment. The first mention of this word, that when I say this word, it's not the word schism, but it's the Greek word that's translated schism, is used in Matthew 9 and verse 16, and I'll read that verse. No man putteth a piece of the new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh away from the garment, here's our word, and the rent is made worse. So when he's talking about the schisms, he's talking about a rent place. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, the same word is used there, except it's translated divisions. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no, here's the same word, divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. See that relational emphasis there? That ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I would have been getting ready for church tonight or this morning and I'd saw a big rip or big tear in my clothes, I believe I would have changed clothes. I mean, back when I was raised and growing up, you know, if you had holes in your pants and holes, you made grease rags out of them. But now kids will go by them like that. I mean, it's the style to go buy something that looked like that you've been in a fight with an alligator and lost. Hey, man, I saw a picture not long ago of somebody. I'm not going to call their name because all of you know her. But they had on some of that attire. And they were on their knees with their hands up. And, of course, you know, I always put a caption on there of what it looks like. And I said, I don't know that you're praying. I believe you're thanking the Lord that you come out alive. I said, I don't know what's had a hold of you, but you barely did live through it. Amen. But I wouldn't have wore that. I mean, you know. But that's the idea of that there be no schisms in the body, that there be no rents, there be no division, be no splits, no gaps. And I want to illustrate in Matthew chapter number 4. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4. I know y'all probably going to remember this when I preached on it on something, on another message, another emphasis. But I'm going at it from a different angle this time. I'm going at it from a different angle. I was going to preach on, use these nets, and I borrowed Brother Ivan's dip net. It's Brother Ivan's dip net. That's what he gets to get his fish out with that. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding about that. But I got some here that's in good shape and some ain't in good shape. Now, that's mine, of course. You can tell it ain't well worn. Amen. Say amen right there. Well, now this one, y'all seen it before. And it's got some rent places in it. Several right there. Y'all see that? When I hold this up, there's another one. When I hold that up to you, and I would say to you, how many of you would like to use this on your next fishing trip? When you saw that right there, as I would, I'd say, I don't want that. Why? It's a net. It's still called a net. It looks like a net. It is actually a net. Right here's the reason you don't want it. It's got holes in it. You see what I'm saying? Let's read our scripture and you'll see where I'm going. Matthew chapter number 4, look at verse number, let's see here. We'll just start verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now watch this. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father. And look what they were doing. I mean, this is not new. You've heard this covered before. They were mending their nets. Mending their nets. That is, they were focused on those tore places. They were focusing in on those holes. And knowing that those places needs repairs, okay? And so they were mending their nets. And so I got this thing out. And by the way, I got this out of the dump. My wife is not a bit surprised about that. I don't know why I got it out. I don't want it, don't need it, don't had never used it. And it's certainly not attractive, and it don't look like it'll work well. But no more fish than I catch, who cares, you know? But I got it out of a dump. Brother Scott, you know what that means? Somebody had done threw this thing away. Probably not because they quit fishing, but because of this right here. They said, well, this thing is full of holes. You know, what good is that? It's of no use, and throwed it away and discarded. So I got this thing out today and got to thinking about it. That's amazing I still have it. But I got to thinking, all of those strings through there, that's not one string. That's many strings. And they're all hooked together, tied to each other in formation. They're all connected together. So what I'm saying is this net that is used for catching fish, catching men, I know they didn't use nets like this back in Bible days, but we can get the point. These are relationships. These are relationships. Now, there's nothing wrong with these relationships, but over here, we've got some relationships. You can see just there's frayed ends and broke. You know, they're not hooked together. They're still a part of the net, but they're not hooked to each other, and therefore there's a hole, there's a rip. And if you were to take and dip out a fish with this, and that's usually all I get to do when I go with Brother Scott, is dip. Get the net. That's all I ever hear. Get the net. Say amen, Brother Scott. Do you think that he would even let me put this on his boat? You know why? Yeah, I believe that, don't you? Amen. But now, if I was a fish and I got in the net, I wouldn't focus on these relationships here that are still connected. But rather, I would look around and hunt some broken relationships. I would look for some relationships that are not doing so well. And maybe there's some ill will, hard feelings, whatever. And as a result, fish will go out. They'll use that as an excuse to escape. And now here I am caught on that. Say amen. They will use that as an excuse. But this is representative of what's going on. We are called to be fishers of men. We've been called to follow the Lord, and he said, I will make you fishers of men. I wonder how many men, women, boys, and girls, I wonder how many have been lost and maybe even in hell already because of splits and splinters and gaps and broken relationships inside the house of God. You think a lost person's going to focus on all these relationships over here? That's nothing wrong. I mean, they're still good and connected together in their proper relationship. No. They're going to look first, Brother Carroll, for the big one. I just noticed over here is a small one. That only look, well, there's two of them right there together. All it takes is one relationship to get messed up in the house of God, and then you've got a hole. You've got a rip. Are y'all listening? And you've heard me say this in Philippians chapter number, what is it, chapter 2, is it? The only negative said about the whole church of Philippi was those two women not being of the same mind. That's the only negative. Those two women that were not of the same mind. That is, they were divided. They were in a broken relationship. They had have fallen out. Amen? And so what we're preaching about right here, that there be no schisms in the body, is that we repair, those things can be repaired. Those things kept, they were mending their net. They were repairing the holes that had come in their net. Boy, I want to tell you, listen, we ought to guard against that. Well, preacher, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I mean, you know, we're talking about men. We're talking about people. We're talking about us being used instrumentally to catch sinners. Amen. And they don't want to get saved. A sinner left to himself don't want to get saved. They don't want to get, in fact, every fish I've caught, they'll fight all the way to the boat. Why? They don't want to get in the net. In fact, amen, I mean, I've got pretty good at it because I've had a lot of practice. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, you have to put the old sneak trick up on some of them. Because when they come in, Brother Scott, testify right here. When they come in, if you don't have the right technique, as soon as they see that net, they take a nosedive. There's been many times it's broke the line. Many times, you know, they get off. Why? They don't naturally want to get in the net. Sinners don't want to get caught. They don't want to get saved. They want darkness. They choose darkness rather than light. That's normal. But God uses people. God uses His church, amen, that are with no schisms, that's with no rips, no gaps, no holes, in good relationship one with another. Amen. I like that, don't you? That there be no schisms in the body. Now, you know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking about this here? Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. Those holes affects the testimony of this net. I mean, if I'd have just held this up and I said, here, y'all welcome to use this net when you go fishing or whatever, there ain't a person in here, including me, would have said, well, I'll take it. I'll use it. Why? Is it not a net? No, it's a net. Still a net. It's got all the looks of a net. When I held it up a while ago, if I would have asked, what is this? Everybody in here, more than likely, I would assume, would have said, oh, that's a net. But the testimony of the net is affected. Because everybody would say, preacher, I don't have confidence in that. I don't want to use that. Because it's not because there are some relationships through here that are still where they need to be. They're still connected together and still right. It's not that, preacher, but it's this right here that causes me to lose confidence. I wonder how many people's lost confidence in the church because of rips and tears and holes and splits and rent places in relationships in the house of God. And you know, we play it off. We think, oh, it ain't no big deal, you know. People's mad at one another and bad attitudes and everything else. Oh, my goodness. Well, then why were they mending their nets? Because relationships matter. And I've not done any study on really what all is involved in that mending of the nets. But I would about say, Miss Debbie, that it was probably a slow process of going through, finding the issue, finding the frayed weak places, and going over here. Are y'all watching? I'm not. I don't know if this is the way it's connected or not. But I, that go over here. So now that one is broke right there. And they start working on it. And then this piece right here, oh my goodness. This piece right here, it's broke off from this piece right here. And they start repairing. And they start patching. And they start patching it up. And you know what happens then? It's not just a net in name, but it's now a net in practice. And confidence is restored, and the effectiveness is restored, and the testimony is restored. Amen. There's a lot of people don't have any confidence in church. A lot of lost people even don't have any confidence in church because of broken relationships. And amen. And boy, don't you know that'd be the devil's good pleasure to do that? But as we care one for another, we need to focus on that. When it's being stretched tight, when there's a relationship being stretched tight, we better watch it, because it won't take a whole lot there for that to break. Amen. May we start noticing that. May we be honest about that, that there be no schisms or divisions in the body. Now, let me give you this. I know you know this, but I'm going to read it to you. In Hebrews chapter 13, that same word in Matthew 4, verse number 21, where it said they were mending their nets, that same word for mending there is used, well, several times in the scripture, but I'm just going to read one of them. Hebrews 13, if you want to look at that, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number, let me find it here. Well, there it is. I'm going to read verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, here comes our word, same word translated, mending in their nets. He said, blood of everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect. There's the word. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just saw something. I want to ask you something. You still looking at that verse? Do you think the last part of that verse is a big deal? You see what I'm asking? Let me read it to you. Work it in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, look at this, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. You think that's a big deal? That we be well-pleasing and that Jesus Christ is able to get the glory? Do you think forever and ever? Do you think that's a big deal? Second question. Can it happen? Will it happen without the first part of verse 21? Make you perfect. That is, you the rent places, tore places, ripped places have been mended, have been repaired, have been restructured, have been reconnected. If you're going to go to the last part of verse 21, you got to start into verse number 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Do you think doing His will is a big deal? How many thinks that? There's no doubt about that. And every saved person, God has a will for you. Every saved person, God has a will for you. And notice verse 21, make you perfect, make you mended, mend up all of the holes in your life, all the holes in your relationships. Mend that up. Why? So that, and by the way, he said to make you perfect in every good work to do His will. I'm seeing things here I didn't see when I was reading this at home. There's a connection there between me being perfect, not that is without holes, without rips and gaps and stuff. There's a connection from that, between that, in every good work to do His will. So when there's rips and tore places and rent places in that net, in that's typical of a church relationship to believers. When there's rent places, then the will of God cannot be done fully. When there's holes in my life, then there's going to be holes left in the will of God being done. God is wanting to work in you that which is well-pleasing. When He's working to perfect you or to mend you, listen, He is trying to bring you into that status of being well-pleasing in His sight. Now, when I hold this one up right here, it's this net here, Lord only knows how old it is. That thing's old as dirt, but there's nothing attractive about that. Nothing appealing about that. And I still don't know why in the world I picked it up, other than that the Lord knew I was going to need an illustration. That's about all my nets are for, is illustrations. But here's one. And far as I know, there's no holes in it. I mean, far as rips and tears and gaps. There's nothing well-pleasing in my sight to look at that one. In fact, if I want to do with that one, what I want to do is probably what somebody else has already done, I'd throw the thing away. You know what the thoughts I would have first about that one? It is not worth fooling with. There's too much. And by the way, oh my goodness, help me, Jesus. You know what? That hole right there, that big one, probably didn't start out that way. It probably didn't just happen. It didn't just go from no hole, no gap, no rip, no tear to just boom, and there's a big hole that you can stick your whole arm through. My guess is, and I don't know the history of this thing, but my guess is it started with one relationship breaking, which put an extra strain on another relationship, making it having to try to make up for that hole, make up for that. See, when that one breaks free, there's no strength there. It's a part of the net, but it ain't helping the net. Oh, my goodness. It's, amen, are y'all listening? It's that, listen, Brother Ryan, that one right there, it's still a part of the net, but it ain't helping a lick. It's just along for the ride. I believe it's important that we ask ourselves, am I helping or hurting? But I believe that big hole right there started. Where was that other one I seen? There it is. I don't know how it got over there. I thought it was over here. See right there? There's one right there. Brother McCarrick, you got good eyeballs? You got eyeballs. That hole right there looks like a one relationship hole. That one. Don't you think? Just a one relationship hole. Yeah, that one over there is blaming the other one. Yeah, that's right. And really, listen, if I was using this net in action and I saw that one right there, I mean, are you kidding? That's just one little strand that's out of place, one little relationship that's not where it needs to be. I'd probably just, that ain't nothing, it's just one. But see, what happens is that when that one breaks, it throws pressure on the other relationships around it, to where before you know it, you've got something like this, and then the testimony is ruined, nobody has confidence in it, and everybody wants to throw it away. Say amen right there. May the Lord help us. Of course, this one don't have any holes in it, Brother Ivan. Amen. I've got to say this. Some churches, they don't have but three people. because they preach against everything and hate everything. And they got about three people, but they, you know what they'll tell you? Hey, we ain't got no holes. We ain't got no holes. Hey, instead of being this with no holes, I'd rather be shooting for this. I'd rather be shooting for full potential. I'd rather be, amen, that's right. Amen. I mean, if you catch a minnow in a net, you've caught a fish, but we ought to shoot big. We ought to go after Moby, amen. That's right. Anyway, God says there, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the same one that worked in that, brought Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of everlasting covenant, comma, make you perfect. The same God that worked in raising Jesus from the dead is the same God that is working in your life and in mine and in our relationships to perfect us and get rid of the holes, the rips, the gaps, and the rent places. Well, I thought that was pretty good myself. Let's go back real quick to see how much more I've got here. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I want to jump on that. Not that I'm afraid to. It's just that that's a lot, quite a bit more material. But let's go back at least, and I'll show it to you, and we'll probably pick up with this next time. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 25. This is where we're going to go next. In that same verse, if I can find it, I'm using another. It's still King James, but I'm using large print. I can't see hardly nothing, so I'm using that if I can find it here. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schisms in the body. And the opposite now is coming on. The contrast is coming on. But that the members, those relationships, the members should have the same care, same connection, one to another, same care, one to another. It should matter to me if I'm in that net, and I don't know what string I am, where I'm at in that net. I don't know where I'm at in the body. I just know I'm in it. It ought to bother me if a relationship connected to me is torn or tearing. Why? Because that's going to make a hole. Amen. And so, but now look what it said, that we have the same care one for another. And I'm not going to start dealing with that because there's too much there. So I want to just unhook right here and fetch art with y'all. I mean, if you want me to preach, we will, but I'm not even asking. Don't even answer that. Because I know some of you, preach, but inside, I would. But we're gonna focus in on that word care. It's the opposite of schism. It answers, schism is negative, the care is positive. And I saw some things. I studied that. God showed me some things, and I wanna take my time at another time and deal with it because I want us to get it. If God don't want schisms and He wants us to have the same care, then I want to know what that care is. I want to take as much time and focus in on that care and look at its usage in other scripture. I believe God's going to help us see some things. Amen. I've been doing it the whole service, but didn't see it. What is this part here called? Handle. A handle is for hands. Why should we guard against this? Is because God's got His hands on us. God wants to use us. Oh my goodness. But will God put His hands on a church or on a person to use to catch fish when He looks and sees there's relationships torn? But He's not interested in discarding it. Just throwing it away, casting it aside. You know what Peter and them was used to? Peter was used to there in Matthew 4. They said, well, hey, we don't need to throw that away. Let's just repair it. Let's don't give up and throw it in the garbage and just discard the whole net. All those other relationships, there's nothing wrong with them. Throw it all aside. Throw away the whole church. No. Let's focus on that and repair it.